Hello, it's James from My Dad Wrote a Porno. Now, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without a bit of badly written erotica by a 60-year-old retired dad. And you're in luck because this year's Christmas Porno Special is available right now exclusively on Spotify for 2 weeks only to get you in the festive mood. Not only that, but you can also listen to all four seasons of My Dad Wrote a Porno, as well as thousands of other amazing podcasts for your oral pleasure. Just head over to Spotify and start listening right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also listen to me over on the Rose Freaks Bachelor Roast, which is coming back to cover The Bachelor in the beginning of January. So I'll see you over there. Here I am with my lovely co-host, Ben Mandelker, who has made a new cartoon series called The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on YouTube. Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I am great. I'm excited for it being today, because I'm after this episode, I'm going to start writing the next episode of Real Housewares of Kitchen Island.
Well, there you
also, Also, I'm really excited because on Thursday, tickets are going on sale for our Boston and DC shows. So excited. Those were two of my favorite markets that we went to. Cities that we went to this year. In Boston, I remember we talked Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives of New Jersey, and it was absolutely crazy. It was an amazing audience. And then in DC, I think we talked Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules. In both cities, amazing audiences. You guys were so good to us. You guys bought those tickets up so quickly last time, and so I think we will probably have pretty quick sellouts again this time when they go on sale on Thursday. So if you want to come see us in those cities, 10 a.m. Thursday, be ready with your ticket buying finger because those tickets are going on sale then. And of course, we also have Irvine on sale. That's already like halfway sold out already. And then we also have we're going back to Just for Laughs in Vancouver. So that's awesome. The people in the North Pacific Northwest have treated us very well last month when we were there. So we're heading back. And then last but not least, we added a second Dallas show. Dallas, home of the Real Housewives of Dallas. You never know who might show up at our live shows, y'all. So come see our second Dallas show. Those are on sale now. WatchYourCrappens.com. Shill, shill, shill.
Yes, and today is Below Deck Day. Now, people are so mad at Below Deck because they keep showing Ashton dying over and over. And then they're like, today is the episode. And then last week we see someone go overboard, but then they ended it, so we don't know what happened. And Ashton was supposed to go and Watch What Happens Live. And since we didn't know what happened, they replaced him with somebody else. I forget. Riley and Ross.
Riley.
And people are like, come on, get to it already. It's like, by the time you kill off a character, no one even cares anymore, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the good news is Ashton's alive.
No, Ashton died. He's just the one we're seeing now is just his ghost, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's Ghost Ashton.
Yeah. He's now played by Bruce Willis.
I want to see the movie Ashton is Back. And it's about Julia Roberts being hugged by Ashton in the snow.
Okay, I'm down. I'll go to that with you. I won't go to many movies, but I'll go to that one.
Ashton is back. He's like, Julia Roberts, thank you for saving me from the water. Let's bone.
He was a male stripper. That is so rude. Like, I've killed Ashton off in my mind. Just because I'm a person who doesn't believe in positive attitudes, I think it's stupid and it's a failure and it'll just lead to more depression in the end. So what I've found that works for me is a very negative attitude, because then I'm constantly being surprised by how things could have been shittier. Like, if you're expecting it to be shittier, you know, then it's kind of good. And so I've, like, mourned Ashton. I saved an ass shot from last week when they showed his ass. Like, I cried over it.
Yeah. You processed.
Yeah, I processed it. So now I'm like, God, they got him out. Gross.
Yeah. He almost lost his leg, but that's okay because he has two more. Get it!
He is now a bipod again.
So this week's episode begins... Well, actually, what's funny is that we see the previous leads on, and, you know, it's like we see Ashton on that deck thing, and the rope grabs his leg and he gets pulled overboard, like, man overboard, man overboard, he's dying, he's drowning, and it's like, it's like the cheeriest music to ever play on the heels of someone saying he's drowning.
So everybody's freaking out, and he gets pulled in. Now everybody is looking at this because America turns into a big human resources complaint box when this show comes on the air. That's basically all Twitter is when Below Deck is on. It's like, that girl didn't do her work right. You know, I've never seen Twitter turn into such, like, a mundane task, you know, dissing.
Oriented. Yeah. Task-oriented social network focus.
Before Below Deck, but it is hilarious. And all week people were like, Riley didn't do her job, goddammit. In their, you know, Twitter Captain Lee voices.
Yeah. Riley did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I don't think Riley did anything wrong, because this time we got to look, right? We got to look in slow-mo as it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and we also got to see the angle of, like, the security camera, too. So basically, we see Ashton go overboard again, and they're all getting their life rings, and we see this security angle, and we see him sort of getting dragged off, etc. This is, like, there's panic happening. Like, this is craziness, you know? Like, he's being dragged off. He's, like, about to get killed. And then it cuts to, like, the ladies up on the deck, like, holding their cocktail, saying, someone's going to have to go in and get him. It's like, thanks, Cameron Westcott.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Somebody fell in the water.
Oh, someone's in the water, guys. He's in the water. Someone should get him. Oh,
the captain's like, I need a status report. God damn it. Jesus Christ. And Jesus is like, a status? No one has asked me for a status report for a long time. So first of all, thank you. I am still here. humanity seems hopeless. Waiting to be born again. We'll figure that out. Not you, God damn it. I got a man drowning. It's like, okay. Dad, it's back to you.
Get his ass out of the water and on board right now.
And Ross is like, get the tinder. Get the tinder. And the lady's like, oh my God, I'm like having an adrenaline.
Yeah, I'm having an adrenaline rush. I'm like, well, I'm so glad you are, because you're standing there having a cocktail while this man is drowning.
Well, how do you even know it's real? You know, it's like a big TV show. Maybe they're just, you know, they're like clapping.
Yeah.
They're like, where's the whale? Where's the whale?
Like, wow, what a great show. Where's the whale?
I love the film Blackfish. I hope she's in the show.
Ooh, this is exciting. What a great show for us. I thought it'd be set to music, though.
Yeah, a stripper in the water. It's like Cirque du Soleil with, like, a quicker trick.
The good news is that Ashton is safe, and so he sort of, like, makes his way out to the tender, etc. And Riley starts explaining to us what happened, which is that he stepped on the line, and it circled around his foot in, like, a millisecond, and dragged him out. And essentially, like, the camera guy had the wherewithal to put down the camera and to, like, go to the ropes that were around the thingy, and he unspooled the rope enough that it wouldn't get too tense, and basically saved this guy's name is Brent saved Ashton's life.
Brent, can we please date? I love a cameraman. You know, it's hard to find anyone in the TV business to date because they're all a bunch of jackasses. But a cameraman literally just stands there and stares at you silently while you do things, you know?
I would not have. Yeah, I don't think I would have had that instinct. I would have been like, What? You know, I'm not like a life-saving sort of person. I don't know what to do. I panic and I freeze.
Well, we're normal Americans. So that was we really would do what any normal American would do. We would whip out our iPhones and start taping that shit.
I know, but I would be already holding a camera. So I just don't – I don't think I would have the instinct to say, oh, I have to like get on this rope and loosen it up and everything. Like, it's like very, very, very scary. Although what I thought was interesting was that when this all happened, Ashton was saying – Royally, look out for the line. Look out for the line. Look out for the line. As he steps on the line and lets it swallow him up. So I'm like, well, mansplaining.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Riley's like, he owes Brett his life. And I'm like, oh, my God. That's all you need. Ashton following you around like he owes you something. All right. Now, I'm going to pick up this napkin off the floor with McCorn Hall. All right. Sit back. It's like, okay. You said thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Ross to the bridge. Ross. So Ross goes up to the bridge and he has to tell Captain Lee that Ashton got caught on the line, and Captain Lee is not happy at all.
Yeah, and then Captain Lee starts going down his morose road. He goes down through the rest of the episode. He's like, "We're 30 minutes from me to having to call his parents and tell him he's dead. And I'm responsible. I don't know how I deal with that. I have kids." Which, you know, thank God, because I don't have kids, and I don't even care when people die. You know, it's weird how only people with kids feel things. But he's like, I don't know how I'd make that call. I need a minute. And then he cried, and I felt so sad. I mean, I know I don't sound like it now, because I'm talking about it the next day.
No, I got emotional. It's like...
Yeah, I actually cried twice in this episode, which is never... That's never happened.
I was on the verge, because Captain Lee's one of those people that if he gets emotional, I get emotional. You know, he has like that effect, because he's like normally like, "God damn it." But when he was like, "That was a really stupid move," scares the heck out of me. Like, I'm scared. Mommy, I'm scared. I'm like, wait, I don't like seeing Captain Lee being vulnerable like this. It scares me.
No kidding. But it is really heartwarming to see somebody still be able to reach out for a bowl of Cheerios, you know?
Yeah.
So the lady's like, "Whoa, well, I just heard him, and then I turned around." Oh, another lady goes, "God, that seemed like it took forever." She's like, "Well, when you're about to die, it does seem like forever." And I was like, "Oh, I'm glad we have cameras on these yoo-hoos."
Yeah, I know. It's like when you are waiting for seafood and get chicken, and you have to wait for the proper course to come out. It takes forever. Am I right, ladies? So Adrian,
only poor people drown like that.
So Adrian and Kate are in the galley, and Kate's like, "That was scary." He's like, "Yeah, it was scary. Yeah, it was scary. Good talk."
Scary. You know, we don't want to tell people how scary the job is, but it is. He's like, "Thanks." So Captain's like, Ashton, you okay? I was 30 minutes from calling your parents and telling them you were dead." And he's like, "Well, my ankle is hit, but my cornhole still flaps, so I'm fine." And he's like, "All right, well, I can't bring the tender out because the swells are too big. So have fun over there, Tom Hanks. We're throwing you a deflated volleyball. All right?"
The bad news is that I almost lost my life. The good news is that while I was hanging out there, I had sex with a stingray. It's pretty exciting. So now Ross is all choked up. It's like everyone gets a chance to get choked up. So now Ross is choked. He's like, "Oh, I'm crawling. I'm in the bathroom and I'm crawling. Just want to give him a hug. I want to see him. I don't know if I want to give him a hug or slap him. Suck his dick." You know what I'm saying? It could be any of the three, if not all.
You know, sometimes you float, sometimes you sink, but this time I'm gonna swallow. I'll tell you that right now. So they're getting up, set up for the lunch, and the lady Brandy's like, "I'm hungry, I ate a lot." Like, "Shut up, you double zero." Yeah, and it's like lunchtime. And so the lunch comes out, and it's flank steak.
"I love the shape of these plates." "I know. We should use them more often." "Master Pearson gifted them to us." "Are they not the greatest plates you've ever seen in your life?"
She's like, "Laura, hi. You can take a 2-hour lunch, okay?" So Laura leaves, and they're eating their flank steak. I just have to point that out, because they do say at one point that only poor people eat chicken. And I'm like, you know they eat flank steak too, right? Like, a lot of it.
Yeah. So Ashton's finally back. He's back. Ashton's back. Julia Roberts. And he's resting his ankle, and Adrian's checking in on him, and he's telling his story about how he was like fighting for air at first, and he thought his foot was going to be torn off, and he was bracing to lose his leg, and he thought he was just going to bleed out in the water and just basically die. And Captain Lee comes in and checks on him. He's like,
hey, kiddo. How's it going down here, kiddo? Oh, that's bad. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. You want a lollipop? Well, tough titties, I don't babysit. Get your ass up there and back on the deck.
No, he was very – Captain Lee was, like, very paternal in that moment. It was so sweet and so lovely.
Yeah. He's like, well, I had that entire tender ride to think about how stupid I was and about how nice Rita Wilson's really been to me. And he's
like, Wilson.
So Ashton, Laura, and the chef are talking, and she's like, do you always tear the tender? And they're like, yeah. And she goes, well, why doesn't somebody drive it? And Ashton's like, oh, because who wants to send someone out there to drive the tender everywhere? It's just easier. She goes, oh, easier. Wow, there are a lot of corners being cut around here. Like, you know, you had 1 week where I was not going to jump on you for being a jackass, but God, you're a jackass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, really settle down, Laura, settle down. So Adrian's very cute. He says he's going to get Ashton some chocolate, which, you know, gave Ashton an instant boner, which was cute. And now it's like fun times with wacky ladies on jet skis. The toys are out, et cetera, et cetera. And Adrian and Kate are in the galley, and Kate's like, I haven't decided if Laura's more help than annoying yet. Probably more annoying. Yeah, I'd say that.
And he's like, well, you know, because the chef is like, he wants peace in his own life, but no one else's apparently, because all he does is go tattletale on everybody all the time.
So yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, she was saying that corners are being cut around here and stuff. And she goes, huh, well, hold on, let me, am I smiling right now? Am I smiling? She's like, she is not experienced enough to be negative. Which I like that Kate even has a level that you have to get to complain about things.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you trained for this? You don't have enough epaulets to be negative, okay? Pick up the mop, stupid.
So then Josiah checks in on Ash, and he's like, hi, darling, how are you? Good, goodbye. And then Josiah's like, I've never seen anything like this before, and I've walked on deck before, and they cut to a photo of him being like, give him the old razzle-dazzle. He's like, got his leg up on a railing.
He's like, things on deck can be very dangerous. One time I put my ankle behind my head and coughed.
One time I emoted.
Maybe this time. Heard of it. Maybe this time I'll be lucky. Maybe this time he'll stay.
So Kate's like, I have never really had a crew member die in front of guests, but I think in a situation like this, cocktails are the answer. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
So then the lady doctor comes on the boat to check after Ashton, and she comes in, she's like, show me that ankle. And he's like, oh yeah, you want to see my ankle? Here it is. And he's like, I feel lucky to be alive. You were the light at the end of my tunnel.
Now let me be the light inside your tunnel, if you know what I'm saying. She's like, yep, got it.
Yep, you're
like,
gotta go.
By the way,
he was totally hitting on her, right? He's like, hey,
yeah,
thanks for coming out. And then he gives sex face. I was like, oh my God, dude.
At this point, Dom is like, you know that Caroline is watching this and just fully jealous about Ashton's treatment. She's like, you know, I hurt my foot and no one even cared. And Ashton hurts his foot and everyone's like giving him chocolate.
I bled out every day. So bring in the toys. Then Ross and Ashton have their porn scene because Ashton's really worked up now that he's seen Lady Doctor coming this fall to NBC. And he's like, Ross is like, you're arm in a pan. And he's like, a little.
You want me to rub it for you?
A little. And Ashton's like, no, I'm going to let you do this on your own. And without me there, you can see how much I can actually do. And then it becomes like the greatest solo scene ever known to Below Deck. Thank you.
So now it's nighttime, and nighttime means one thing. Time for a tablescape, and we hear the sound of pebbles being scattered across the table.
I think we're going for a jungle theme. I'm, like, really into it.
Yeah, so she's still like, sea glass.
Laura, Kate. Hi. We're up here doing important things. Can you please turn around three times in a circle, bang your head on a door, and do the guest cabins? That would be great.
Yeah. And Laura's like, you know, now that since I've been chief stew somewhere at one point in my life, like, it reminds me that, like, I may have, like, shot myself in the foot, which is surprising because Canada has much better gun laws than the U.S. Because, like, I have not done turndowns in years. But it probably doesn't matter because this yacht has the bar set kind of low. You know what I'm saying?
As my mother used to say, you are cruising for a bruising, lady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the chef is like, God, the chef's got off to a bad start, so I got him chicken. Because that's comfort food, brah.
Yeah. So I love how condescending he is about comfort food. Like, I just feel like he's never had comfort food in his life. I mean, I know chicken can be comfort food, but it's like chicken soup, fried chicken. But chicken inherently I don't think is necessarily comfort food. Maybe a roast chicken.
Yeah, oven steamed chicken breast. Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Man, so that's wider than Tyler.
Yeah, and yes, which is funny because I made poached chicken last night. I was thinking about that Top Chef season when the guy made poached chicken. We're like, that's the blandest shit we've ever seen. And we actually ate that poached chicken too, and we're like, what is this bland shit?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know, chicken tangent, everyone, I'm sorry. So so he serves this oven steamed chicken to these ladies, and at first they're like, oh, this is really good. And then this one drunken faux Candace Bergen is like, who ordered chicken? Anyone?
I mean, it's well done, but none of us ordered it. And then her friend goes, chicken is what poor people eat. And they all started laughing, and one of her friends goes, well, you're not wrong. Like, don't enable your terrible friends.
I know, don't enable it. And yet, at the same time, I love their awfulness. They're, like, secretly all Lucille Bluth.
Yeah, and they've probably just all watched that Top Chef, because I've never heard anybody be like, chicken, that is disgusting.
I mean, here's my feeling on it. Like, whenever I go to a restaurant, I rarely ever get the chicken option. I'm always going to go for fish because it's usually more interesting to me. However, I will say this. When chicken is done right, it can be the most delicious thing on the planet. But, I mean, oven steamed chicken, I feel like this is a little bit of a draw, but the poor people think that was nasty. That was nasty and rude.
I just found it funny because the next thing, they're like, Kate's like, okay, well, we made you scallops instead. And they're like, that is amazing. When scallops are like the trashiest of seafood, it's like the seafood that the trashy people are like, scallops, these are amazing. And so I thought it was funny that it's almost like he did it on purpose, you know, like, all right, here's some scallops. And it looked like a pile of shit, too.
It actually looked worse. I have to say, I mean, I love scallops. I love, love, love scallops. But what was funny is she was like, I mean, chicken, I can make it at home. I would actually argue that scallops are 10 times easier than chicken.
Yeah. It's like you fucking throw them on a pan for 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then they're done. As opposed to chicken, where there's like a moving target of when, if it's done properly. Chicken is so mundane, and yet at the same time, it is so hard.
Yeah, and Kate's like, well, this chicken does look amazing. And while I agree that he could have added some shrimp or something to it, I wouldn't be an asshole about it. And trust me, I'd be an asshole about almost anything.
Yeah.
They're dicks.
Yeah. So, yeah, Josiah goes into the kitchen and is like, oh, Adrian, drunk Carrie said she didn't ask for chicken. That slut.
I love that. Drunk Carrie said she didn't put chicken on a prep sheet. And he's like, well, should I do scallops? And he goes, you can go to the fanciest Michelin star restaurant and they'll make you chicken. They'll also bully you, take all of your money, and make you lose hope in humanity. But that's a different day, different story.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the ladies are still going off. Chicken is not acceptable. And she's like, we are very offended that poultry is served.
I think actually that woman said it tongue in cheek. But then the scallops come out in this giant pile of risotto. And the woman's like, I mean, he should have made this from the beginning. You could just see Josiah pining off into the moonlight, being like, I wish Master Pearson were here. He would have never complained. He would have appreciated this chicken for what it was. Genius.
He would know how to take care of Drunk Carrie. That evil villain. That evil chicken-denying villain.
Master Pearson, we need you now more than ever.
And Kate talks to them like they're just little children. She's like, do you like that? Scallops. He made extra, so I think everyone wins here. Right? Right? Winners? Winners?
Yeah, enjoy your simple foods.
Losers,
yes.
Losers.
Losers. Losers. They should call it not scallops. They should call them loser lups.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Everyone has a family member who always tells the best stories, like the one about the first neighborhood TV, or the boat trip across the Atlantic where that guy almost lost his foot and bled out, or the hilarious college prank. God! Not only does StoryWorth preserve these narratives so future generations can enjoy them, but it also brings families together every week as they get to know each other better.
Huh. StoryWorth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories. Huh. With weekly email story prompts, questions you never thought to ask. I mean, here's how it works. So you just like purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week, StoryWorth sends them an email with questions about their life, and they just like respond to it, or they can record over the phone by calling the StoryWorth number, and then at the end of every year, their stories will be bound into a beautiful keepsake book.
Connect with your family. Great way to stay in touch. Helping to bring geographic distance by providing lively discussion topics. Learn about your relatives. Questions elicit entertaining, surprising, and sometimes moving responses.
This is a really cool service and idea, and I'm like super, super excited about it. I want to do it with my parents. I remember like 10 years ago, I went to a wedding, and I took all these photos, and I like got them made into a cute hardcover book, and I just saw my friends again like a month ago, and they're like, that was their favorite gift out of that entire wedding. And so basically you get to do that, but with stories. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I have two nieces who are making my life worth living, and I'm definitely gifting this to my sister because I want this book at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Dang it.
It's really okay. Important. It's actually really, really important.
Yeah.
So but here's the even best part is that for $20 off, you can visit StoryWorth.com/WWC when you subscribe. Okay. So that's $20 off. It's StoryWorth.com/WWC. So then we have this like random moment where Tyler's like, the new guy Tyler's like, back when I was 22, I started my own insurance agency in Seattle and I crushed it. Like, okay, settle down.
But then I was like, ew, shaving. It's something on fire right now.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then a guy almost died. Like, that's not the rush I'm looking for. I like that he's like trip advisoring his job on the boat. He's like, was fun until a guy almost died. 2 stars.
Yeah. I'm looking for adrenaline, but not that kind of adrenaline. Like, what the hell?
So this Laura chick has really rubbed Kate the wrong way already. Yeah. And so Kate and Josiah are cleaning, and there's the wrong towels put out, and there's no waters by the bed. And she's like, no waters by the bed? That's a Caroline-style mistake.
Is she actually here? Oh, wait. Oh, my God. She is here. Oh, sorry. That's just a bottle of Heinz. Heinz.
It's a dust bunny attached to. It's a dust bunny stuck on the lampshade. So, hi, Caroline.
Oh my God, Caroline. Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just the dot on the 7-Up logo. Carry on.
So she's mad. She's like, that girl doesn't even know how to turn down rooms.
Like, what kind of boat were you working on?
So then we get a cut. While she's complaining about Laura, we see Laura in her room doing shitty yoga. Like, she's doing bad yoga too. And I love that they hate Laura on this show so much. It's cracking me up.
I agree. And then I also love that we got an extended sequence of the moms like dancing on the deck. They had like their own little dance party. It was basically like every bar mitzvah I'd ever been to.
Yes.
Just like excessive mom dancing.
We got scallops and disco. We're living our best life. Hashtag blast.
Like, okay, mom.
Scallops and disco. So now, what is this? Okay, Adrian was like looking for something in the galley, And Kit's like, oh, I have it. I still have it. Yeah, sorry. I had to go do turndowns that weren't done by the girl who used to be a chief stew. Sorry about that.
So he's like, I really don't like talking about people. Okay, she's basically chicken to that table up there. Okay, I get it. So the chef goes to bed because he's with Laura, right? So he goes into his room.
Yeah, he's in the same room.
And Laura's like, how was the rest of service? And he goes, hectic. She goes, really? She's like just dying to hear something bad. And he goes, yeah, I mean, they were super rude. And apparently you forgot to do turndowns.
God, Adrian is such a sneak because he basically went and told Kate what Laura had said about cutting the corners. And now he goes and tells Laura what Kate had said. He is like a little sneaky fucker.
Yeah, he is. And I like it. Because I like when you don't expect it from them, you know. And Laura's like, but I did everything. Is she mad? And he goes, aggravated. She goes, I don't know what the deal with Kate is, but I've been working super hard. And I could really appreciate some positive feedback. Okay. Instead, I'm getting this, like, little mean girl thing.
I'm like, you're welcome. It's an honor to get the Kate mean girl. Yeah, she's a mean girl. Exactly.
Yeah, so she complains to Adrian.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, she complains to Adrian. She's like, look, as third stew, I'm doing the bitch work, and I'm picking up their slack. And he goes, that's your job. You do the bitch work, and you shut up. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to get you integrated into the group. It's like, whoa!
Yeah, where did that come from? He did, like, a hairpin turn on that one. He comes in, like he basically, like, rats out Kate, sort of creates a fake alliance, and then turns it on her and is like, shut up and do your work.
But he's so housewives because now we can go tell Kate, yeah, she said she does all the bitch work, and I told her that's her fucking job.
Yeah. Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
So now it's the next morning, and Laura's on early. She's supposed to do, like, morning service. And this lady, she is, like, ready to work out. And Laura, like, this lady probably is happy to get onto a treadmill. And Laura does that thing. She's like, oh, you want to do Pilates or yoga? I can change if you want. You want to do that now? You want to do that? I can do that. Sure. Okay, I'll do that for you. And the lady's like, sure, I guess. Pilates maybe? I don't know. So Laura, because she's also – Laura's a yogi, right? That was like on her CV. So she basically goes up to Kate's room. Kate is like climbing out of her bed like she's in The Grudge, you know? She's like – like not ready to receive any sort of human or ghostly interaction, in fact. And Laura's like, oh, hey, Kate, so I think I'm going to do Pilates with Carolyn. So is that cool that there's no one else on service? It's like, what are you talking about? There are people out there waiting to be served, and you're going to do yoga with them?
Yeah, she's a dope. Well, there's only one side of the bed, but this is definitely the wrong one to get me up on.
Yeah.
Which means, like, your ass is grass, okay?
Yeah.
So like, she goes, well, I guess I'll just wait till you're up. And she goes, yeah, that's the best idea.
Yeah, that's smarter. So now they're both in the kitchen, and there's just like an amazing passive aggressive war being waged, because Kate's like, okay, so like what we like to do is put the coffee in the machine at night, so that we just have to press the button and it's ready to go in the morning. Also, have you ever done turndowns before in your life? Like in your life.
And when Kate's tired, like she's got just woke up face, and it is hilarious watching her be so pissy because she's barely keeping it in. And Laura's like, oh my god, what did happen? Because the chef totally came up and tattletailed on you talking shit about me. And she's like, and you don't put waters by the beds? So even 3-star hotels do that. So
yeah.
Unless you were a chief stew on a Motel 6, then you should know how to do that.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I guess, I just didn't really know what we were doing since everything looked so shitty around me. I thought I was just supposed to maintain the level of shittiness I saw with my own eyeballs.
Oh, Well, then you can ask me, the chief stew of the interior. And then she does like a done with her hands. She's like, and cleared you. I just cleared you like I was opening curtains on a fresh summer day. Bye.
So meanwhile, out on the deck, Captain Lee is giving Ross instructions on how to actually work on a boat without dying. So he's like, see this? Don't step on that. Don't step here. Don't move there. And let that do that. And be careful of the starfish, okay? And be here. Go to kitchen.
No one should ever be down on this deck. Do you understand me? God damn it.
Yeah.
And then later the chef's like, should I just cook this on the deck? And Kate's like, yeah, just do it on this deck.
It's perfect.
Yeah, just put the table right around all those ribs. So then we see Laura. She's like sitting down with the women, being like, "Hello, welcome to yoga time. Great, let's get started. Namaste." At which point, the chaos starts on the boat.
Yes. So here we go. So the chef is still mad at the guests. He's like, "When they're flaming assholes, I really go all out. Like, I know the food was great. And if they didn't like it, that's their problem." And I was like, "Well, welcome to the season, sir. I've been waiting for this."
Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, someone wakes up Riley, you know, to get to work and everything. And he's like, "All right, we're going to sit here, we got to tell you the tender, and then we have to, like, don't step there, that's lava, it's not lava, Ross, that's a deck, no, it's lava, step back, yeah." It just becomes chaos. They're, like, yelling at each other over, basically.
Yeah, it's like, how to step over the line, or whatever, that he just got bitched out by the captain. And she's like,
"If you want me behind the line, I got behind the line." He's like, "Get in there." She's like, "That's not what you said. That's not what you said.
Yeah, because Captain Lee's watching this on his video, and he's like, so he calls up, he's like, "I don't want to see a body out there. I don't want to see another severed leg." So he calls up Ross, and he's like, "Who was down there? Was that Tyler?" He's like, "No, it was Riley." He's like, "All right, get her ass up here." So Riley goes up there, and Captain Lee just yells at her, saying, like, "Don't stand there," you know, whatever, etc. So now Riley's mad at Ross.
Yeah, it's like, "I'm not saying anything to you right now, but in my head I'm going, oh, help! God!" He's like, "All right, get your motherfucking ass off this boat, okay?"
Yeah.
So break the gluten-free pancakes. You sure showed them your anger. He's like, "I am so mad! All right, here's some gluten-free pancakes, guys."
Enjoy. Yeah.
So then Ross and Riley, now she's furious, right? And he's like, "This is why I told you." She's like, "This is why I told, I don't want to be woken up 10 minutes before I'm supposed to be concentrating, God."
Yeah, which is, I feel like, not Riley's strongest point that she's made all season.
I just love that she's ready to kick someone's ass from like minute two of being awake. She's like, "Good morning, how's it going, hon? I'll fucking kill you."
I know, she's not a morning person. Or afternoon or evening. So, and I like that this is all being intercut with, like, this stupid yoga class going on. It's like, Laura's like, "Well, thank you for allowing me to guide you through this practice. Namaste." God damn it, Ross, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, "Let's go down here. They're watching." And she's like, "You are another fucking Chandler."
Yeah.
So good. So then the chef
one fucking second to respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everyone keeps going and throwing food at Ashton's head so he can eat, which is sweet. And then the guests continue. The fight between Ross and Riley continues, and then it ends with Ross. She's like, "Next time you say get behind the lines, I guess I'll get off the fucking platform, because now I know that's what you mean." And he's like, "You know what? Yeah. You're right. I should have worded it better. You're right. You're right, and I'm wrong." She's like, "Okay." And then she hugs him.
And then they hug. Which actually is, like, stupid Chandler. That's all you had to do, is take, like, just a shred of accountability. And she'd be like, "Oh, okay, fine. Thanks."
So, yeah. Next up,
Kate brings Ashton some core water. She's like, "Hi, I thought I'd bring you something, a gift from our sponsor. Here you go. Enjoy some core water while your ankle heals from being almost torn off. Great, thanks."
I'd like you to put some of this Nespresso on your ankle. Okay, great. Yeah.
Okay. So then in the kitchen, Adrian is making an alleged carrot cake, even though it's totally the wrong color, and like two of the rounds are totally different colors, and Josiah's just standing there. He's like, "What sort of cake is that?" It's
carrot.
It's a carrot. So it's a mixture.
It's carrot.
A mixture.
A mix? What do you mean? It's carrot.
It is a mixture.
It's not made for mixture. I'm home making this. It's carrot cake.
Master Pearson, we have an issue. Master Pearson.
I'm bleeding. All right, you're not ready. Go back to the cave.
Go back. He's learning. Master Pearson, you've been presented with a mixture cake. What do you do?
I bleed.
No. Again.
Oh. So he's so like, "Yeah, you've got two different kinds of cakes. So it's a mixture." And he's like, "I don't know what you're on about." He goes, "I'm going to punch you in the face in a minute, drunk Carrie."
So they start setting up for this party, and Kate goes, I just think it's annoying when anyone wants to celebrate their birthday unless they're like a child. And on that note, Kate, thank you again for sending in that video for my birthday in Nashville. I really appreciated that.
I wish this video had been out so I could have added it.
I know.
That shit's hilarious. Unless they're a child. Look, no one wants to celebrate your 43rd birthday.
I was like, thanks. So then they're setting up the birthday party for some reason in the quote-unquote beach club. And Josiah has like a little box of balloons and he like pours it out and like five balloons come out. He goes, yay, it's a party.
So then the chef and Laura are in the kitchen. He's made that cake and it looks like a misshapen boob. Like it looks terrible.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you think it looks like a nipple? And she goes, yeah, it looks like a nipple. Is that on purpose? And he's like, yeah, I was inspired by you. The lay of your chest.
Yeah, the shape of your breath. I thought he said the shape of your breath. Either way. And she's like, oh.
I didn't know what lay of your chest meant. I just thought that was a strange. I was like, God, thank God I don't have to deal with boobs. Like, there's so much terminology I just don't understand.
I thought he said the shape of your breast. But either way, she's like, that's hilarious. I was like, feels inappropriate for a workplace.
Welcome to Below Deck.
Yeah. So now he basically serves up a giant seafood lunch. You know, make this at home, bitches.
And then Ashton watches Laura do laundry like it's the sexiest fucking thing he's ever seen. Because he's gotten up and he's limping around now. He's like, oh yeah, steam coming out of that. And he's like, Toya, you need someone to give you a foot rib? And she's like, yeah. Oh jeez. And then he tells us his game. He's like, I've played an interesting game with Laura. I just dropped their seeds, and then I left him alone, and their seeds grew. Told you. Ha, ha, ha. And then he does the, what's that guy from last season that we wanted to murder? What's his name? Joao.
Oh, Joao.
He's like, ha, 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 ha.
What I do is I drop those seeds, and I let them grow, and then I say, back in Zim, we always tend to our plants, if you know what I mean. Suck my cock.
So, and she's like, that's kind of hot. So then cake presentation. So Riley and Tyler are talking while everybody else is up partying. They're working. And she's like, what is that ring on your finger? Stupid, I'll fucking kill you. It's nice. And he's like, well, actually, it's a promise ring. And she's like, you were engaged? That's so sweet. Oh, I want to rip your fucking throat out and eat it with my bare hands.
You know, now, you listen, nice. And you listen well. I need more than 10 minutes before you tell me your promise ring story, okay? You got that?
So he was engaged to his high school sweetheart, but she's married with kids now because, you know, she wanted him in construction, and I wanted to be in fire. So, yeah, it just didn't work out.
Yeah. Sorry, Jocelyn. So, yeah, that's his big story, is that he became a firefighter.
And then Riley's like, well, yeah, Riley's like, I have an ex too, but we cheated on each other. And then they're like, ha, 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 ha. I was like, this is the oddest romance I've ever seen in my life.
I know. So now Adrian's preparing for dinner, and he's like, yeah, I don't talk to guests about dinner. I just serve them what I want to serve them. And tonight I'm making lobster and beef. And he makes actually a dinner that looks pretty amazing. He makes like a lobster bisque. And that beef was pretty close to perfect.
I just love that he said that to Laura, because she's like, you just do what you want and you don't care what they think. Fine. You can see her marking it down in her brain.
That's what I do when I do a turndown service.
Yeah, I mean, I guess no standards are still what we're aiming for, huh?
So dinner goes off really well and everyone's really happy. And now it's the next morning and Ashton is, he's now like limping around because he wants to work. So he's like bundling up ropes and stuff. He's like, the trauma, I have to gather the ropes to remind myself to persevere over this trauma. That's like, in my mind. That was the story he told himself.
Yeah, he's like, I hate lying on my back and not doing anything, which is why I've got Ross here. Ross, I'm lying on my back. And he's like, oh, yeah, oh, we're just doing this as brothers.
You just hear that Tahitian girl. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So Riley has exactly what she's been looking for, someone she can boss around. She's found Tyler. So she's just following him around, bossing him around. She's like, okay, lift that up, do that, cross the line.
And if something looks out of place, put it somewhere, which is, I hate when people say that. Like, how am I supposed to know what looks out of place? Yeah. I need context.
And he's like, I've spent years on sailboats. I mean, I have those skills, no doubts, but this is a motorboat. It's a different animal, brah. Sodomizer has shown me the ropes.
Yeah, it's like construction versus fire.
She's building me up, then someone's going to burn me down, then I'm going to put myself out, brah.
So the
thank you for that Kate laugh.
No, I was trying to think if I could tie killing it at the insurance agency into it, but I really couldn't. So the anchor comes up, they eat breakfast, vendors come out, and the guests leave. I mean, I don't know. I feel like nothing really happened during that part, right?
Yeah, nothing really happened. Basically, the guests leave, and then the captain pulls everybody up. They got $16,000 for their tip, which is decent, I guess, because it was only 2 days. And so he calls everybody up, and he's like, we're going to watch a video of exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
So, because it's going to be sobering. Because in 30 minutes, I was going to have to call his parents and say, your son just lost a goddamn ankle and bled out, and he's dead. I need a second again.
Yeah. Also, we should mention that Ashton wants it. He's like, I would like to address the group, and I have to say I want to thank everyone for checking in on me. Ross, that blowjob, top notch. Also, I didn't really do any work. I mean, for me, joking off to all of you guys, that's a pleasure. So, honestly, I don't think I deserve this tip. And I'm not talking about that tip, if you know what I'm saying. So here, I'd like to give it to the group. And Captain's like, no, that's not how it works around here. I'm 30 seconds from calling your parents and saying, hey, he better keep his tip. So no, you keep your tip. Time for a sobering meeting. Sobering meeting alert. Sobering meeting of soberness. Sobriety of the brain is happening.
Yeah, so they watch the video of him, and he's like, God damn it! And it's really sad because, you know, he almost died. So everybody cries and stuff. And
he starts to cry. Captain Lee, he's like, that's you right there underwater. What are you doing, Riley? You just say man overboard once. I'm supposed to hear it. You got to go, man overboard. God damn it, man overboard.
Yeah, and then they cut to everybody's face and, like, every single person is crying. And then it gets to Kate and she's like,
Are we going to address the cake that was shaped like a nipple? Are we going to address the fact that Adrian made a carrot cake, but then garnished it with strawberries? Are we going to talk about that? Because that was also pretty terrifying and sobering.
That is pretty bad. Oh, gosh. All right, everybody. Well, that brings us to the end of Below Deck. We will be back with two more shows this week, both Real Housewives of New Jersey and Real Housewives of Dallas. And if you want to get caught up on last week's Top Chef in New Jersey, we did those in our premium bonuses over on Patreon. So thanks for everyone who supports that. Go get your live show tickets. Boston, D.C., Irvine, Vancouver, Dallas. Go on and get them at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's our soul where you'll find links to our merch. We've got all of our limited edition t-shirts up for 2 weeks only. Anything to add, Benjamin?
I love everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.